Welcome to Girls Talk. I'm your host today, Kansani Gadingi, and I have three guests who have joined me today, Ashley, Abby, and Flora. We shall be discussing about sexual violence, but they have decided to change the focus from the victim to the perpetrator, so I welcome you guys on the show.
Thank you for having us.
It's a pleasure to be here.
Thank you.
So before we dive into the discussion, I'd like to ask you guys a question. What is sexual violence? What does it mean to you?
To me, sexual violence is any sexual act or whatever someone tries to do to you that is sexual without your permission and that goes against your will. To me, that's sexual violence, whether someone touches you or someone forces themselves on you, as long as they're doing something sexually, and that's so uncomfortable and like touching even the most private parts of your body, that sexual violence.
Yeah, I couldn't agree with Flora anymore. I have the same thing to say. It's a violation of someone's physical privacy, sexually, and also, like she said, without their permission. And it's quite sad and also quite real at the moment.
You two are so right, and I'd like to add, I think that it's a very unequal power relationship whereby the perpetrator makes the victim feel incredibly uncomfortable, and it's not fair.
You guys have touched on every aspect of it, and I agree with you guys, and it's also about crossing someone's boundaries.
Exactly.
You know?
Yeah.
So I wonder, where does sexual violence come from? This culture that has been embedded in our society, I wonder where and how has it been reproduced in our society?
Because it's been going on.
You know, so I'd like you, Abby, to explain to us and help us understand.
So, according to an online article by Shani De Cruz, in a woman's review, she claims that a culture which is predominantly masculine can be associated with higher statistics of sexual violence in some form or another. Violence against women is not a new thing. It's an age-old practice, and here is why and how it started. Way back in the 4th century, Christianity became the dominant religion in Rome, and it was around this time that the Romans decided to recreate translations of the Bible, which were riddled with patriarchy. These Roman people became known as the Platonists, and since the Bible is the most significant book in the Christian religion, this meant that the patriarchy was indoctrinated into society. Platonism was also dualistic, and therefore pushed the idea that men were seen as a superior to women, that women's desires were inferior to those of men, and that free men were seen to be virtuous, had the right to hold women's desires down.
Wow.
Wow, that's quite deep, eh?
It's always been there.
Yeah.
It's always been there, and women have been oppressed for such a long time. As you guys know, the American music icon R. Kelly, I don't know if you guys have been following his documentary and his journey right now. He's a man who's known to have relationships with young women, especially teenagers. And since the late 90s, he has been charged with sexual assaults from a lot of women. But for all this time, he's been getting saved. The justice system has been on his side, and nothing has been done to actually put him behind bars and make him responsible for his actions, you know. And I think that's something we need to touch on. And one of many. Exactly, you know, it comes into play that men with money and power are always protected. There's this interview that he had with an American woman that asked him, why are you with relationships with young people, you know? And to him, he's like, what is young to me? What is young to you? You know, he kept on playing, he kept on asking questions that protected him. And one thing he said that stood out for me in the interview, he bashed out and said, you don't know what happened to me when I was young. And to me, sure, it's a mental thing. It's a mental thing that we need to address as society. Not only victims need help, but these perpetrators also need help.
Yeah, if I can just comment on that, I feel like we shy away from the mental health issues with these perpetrators. And that, in essence, is the actual problem. And that is also the reproduction of sexual violence happening over and over again. So I'm not 100% sure on the details of his case, but I do believe that it comes from a young age. He suppressed many emotions, and because he's a man, he's expected not to deal with his emotions. He's expected to just be strong or be a man. And to society, that means not being able to be vulnerable and be emotional and deal with some of your emotional stresses, like having to take care of a family, for example. I mean, it can be quite a lot on a man. And by no means am I trying to justify their actions. I'm just thinking of a way to prevent it in future.
You know, and another thing, I read a New York Times article titled "What Experts Know About Men Who Rape." So the article begins with findings from a thesis, titled "The Undetected Rapist," done in 1976. So in this thesis, what happened is that a PhD candidate at Claremont Graduate University placed an unusual personal ad in newspapers throughout Los Angeles. The ad was, "Are you a rapist?" He was basically conducting a research, interviewing anonymously by phone. The conclusion of the researcher was that those who answered his ad titled, "Are you a rapist?" represented a diverse group, and that few generalizations could be made about men who rape. The article also explores the findings of more recent research that has helped to provide insight into men who commit sexual assault. Most men start early, guys, associate with others who commit sexual violence and deny that they're rapists while admitting to non-consensual sex. So,
wow, that's quite deep, eh?
It is.
So men are always in competition with other men, as we can see. And this means that dominance is seen as having control over one's woman, as if they own women. This is done as a status symbol, and as if men are like in contest with one another towards the female body, with acts of violence. And it is, may I say, glorified?
I think you guys have touched on something very important, because suppressing emotions leads to anger.
Yeah.
You know, when you haven't dealt with your emotions, you become so angry and so defensive over yourself. And I think it's important to allow men, give them a space where they're allowed to be vulnerable, they're allowed to be emotional, and it is okay to be emotional. It doesn't mean you're weak. But sexual violence also complex topic, because the motives are always different. You know, others do this because they're also victims, they haven't dealt with it. Others do this because of peer pressure. I mean,
sorry,
have you realized with, when it comes to society with boys, it's more of like, oh, have you been with a woman? You know, have you done one, two, three? We promote sex and sexual activities as if it's nothing.
Exactly.
You know, as if it's nothing.
So, like, also as part of this article, I found out that other risk factors include heavy drinking, perceived pressure to have sex, and a belief that no means yes. Two factors that had mediating effects included a high empathy score, resulting in being less likely to do it again, and narcissism, resulting in being more apt to continue to engage in sexual violence. One underlying theme in the article is that men who admitted to non-consensual sex denied being rapists.
Wow. So, you just brought up a thought in me that, since seeing that we're shifting the focus from the victim to the perpetrator, I don't actually want to shy away from what the victim actually has to go through. I mean, the aftermath of sexual violence. There was a case study done, and there was about 100% of the women reported that were sexually violated either showed symptoms of depression, anxiety, or post-traumatic stress disorder. And I'm not saying that this is not important, but I'd like to look at a way to deal with the perpetrator to prevent it in the future.
Because if you don't understand the perpetrators, you are never going to understand sexual violence.
Yeah. So
to me, I always ask myself, what's really going on in the mind before they're about to perform that act?
Mm-hmm.
Like, no one just sort of put a puzzle together and planned beforehand that I'm going to do this.
Mm-hmm.
And, well, maybe to others, it just happens, like, that they're going to do this. It's something that just pops up in their mind. So to me, it can also mean mental illness.
Yeah.
I don't know if I'm wrong, guys.
No, you're definitely correct. Definitely correct. And I also just want to comment on that. And I really do feel like I don't want to be the one to look over my shoulder the whole time to prevent sexual violence.
Live in fear.
Yeah, I don't want to live in fear. I don't want to dress appropriately. I mean, what is appropriately even? I'm not allowed to show skin because I'm a female. I might be blamed for attracting a male to sexually violate me. And it's rather sad.
Another thing in history was that with this whole dominant Christian form that came about, there was this whole idea that women's chastity was so important, and actually that men had control over this. And those who had lost their chastity were considered to be, like, fallen. And I wouldn't say that someone who has been raped is fallen.
Hmm.
I mean, your chastity is not, like, if you raped, it's out of your control. It's not your choice. And, yeah, it's so scary.
I think sexual violence, it's not just rape or being molested, you know, but having sexual jokes being said to you is something that can affect me, because you see women as an object, not as a human. And that's when male continue having this image of, like, a woman's just an object of sex. She's not human. She doesn't have feelings. I'm just going to do it. And that's how we need to change their perspective, culture practices. We all know from a young age in primary, when I was young, they'd always say, all the girls need to go to the hall. There's this guest speaker. The guest speaker talk about, you need to dress appropriately, like you said.
Yeah.
You must avoid being raped. You must do 1, 2, 3. And for me, it's like, why aren't the boys in here? The boys also need to be educated about these issues. You know what I mean? Make them understand. Because if we remove them from the real issues, they don't understand. And some sexual activities or certain things has been normalized by society.
Okay,
if a guy touches my bum and I go to somewhere like, hey, they touched my bum, they all have, like, it's normal. Like, what are you saying? But like you guys said in your definitions, invading my private space.
Exactly.
Touching me without my consent is through sexual violence. And I think it's all about having conversations. We need to challenge the practices that have been happening back then. We're living in a time where people have voices. You know what I mean?
Just to add in that, as I'm sitting here, I'm actually boiling, hey? Because, yeah, you know, guys. So, you know how other victims do come forward. They seek for help for what they went through. And then you find that these perpetrators are still roaming around the streets. So they have another person who's going to be their victim. And then this victim also seeks for help. And then the perpetrators go to another victim. So it's sort of a cycle. It keeps going on.
You're reproducing.
Exactly. By the same guy. The same guy keeps doing this act. And the victims are getting help. But he keeps going on. So actually, that's why we're saying shift the focus, to the perpetrators. Because they keep going and on and on and on and on and on. Especially if they don't get caught.
Yeah, so on that, I actually like what Kenya is doing at the moment. So Kenya is reported to have one of the highest cases of violence, sexual violence against women in the whole world. They've started a couple of programs to combat this. And one of the programs is actually meetings for men to speak about their stresses, the financial stresses. They're dealing with poverty, they're dealing with having to take care of their whole family. They're dealing with all this anger, and they're not allowed to speak or be sad at the end of the day after coming from work. We need to shift this and say that it's okay for you to feel depressed, and the wives need to be there for their men. Or any female need to be there for a guy friend and say, it's okay, you can talk to me. What are you dealing with? So that doesn't come out in anger and end up being regret for the perpetrator, perhaps.
That is so true.
I think it shouldn't just be female to male being supportive. I think male to male too.
That too.
Men themselves need to support one another.
Yeah.
100%. And I think also cultural practices have also allowed sexual violence to happen.
Yeah.
And that makes me angry, because if I had to be in a relationship right now and I get raped by my husband and I go home and I say, my husband raped me, ma, they'll come to me and say, but he's your husband. You're meant to commit to him. You're meant to do whatever he wants. You know, we have this
he paid for
African cultural practice known as lobola. And lobola is when two families come together and there's a bride price paid. And others see it as the husband buying the woman. They see that. And now, watching documentaries on this, a lot of women suffer from this. You ask them, they've been reporting this to their families, but the families keep on saying, he's your husband, go back. When you want sex, you're meant to do it. You know, the patriarchal system comes into place again, you know. It just makes me angry, because some cultures are actually promoting this to happen, and people are being quiet about this.
Yeah, it's rather complex, and I feel like we cannot change cultures. We cannot go back in time and change the African traditions, or how women need to take care of their men, or how the male is dominant over the female. So it's, like I said, it's complex, and we need to think of some other ways to approach the situation.
And sometimes victims don't really, what can I say, they don't come forward at the same time. So when they take like years to come forward, it's history. When you come forward after years, to some people it's history. It's like, no, it's history and it didn't happen. Why are you reporting this now? And for you to say that, the perpetrator already won. I think we need to say, what we need to say is, I believe you. The minute we say, I believe you, it can, I think that's when it's
change
going
will
to
come in.
Yeah.
Change will come in. Because you're thinking that, how can you expect someone who went through so much and all the tears, obviously, while the more you keep quiet, you're also going through something and you're finding a way to come forward with this. As you were saying, Kenzani, they keep telling you this is your husband should do this, and you keep quiet, and the minute you want to go forward and talk and tell people the story, to them it's history.
Supporting your statement, it reminds me of R. Kelly's lawyer, a white male. They asked them, so what do you think about this case, what's been happening and stuff like that. What annoyed me the most, this white man said, this woman are lying. This woman wants relationships and benefited from him. All the while now is just fame.
Wow.
And man, I'm like, why would more than 20 women come forward about the situations and you still say they're lying? And he said, no, they're just bored. I mean, just because of the Me Too movement, they think now they must also just come up with a lie. And to me, it's like, how do you come up with a lie? Like you said, it's a pattern. R. Kelly has been accused of this since 1998. It's a pattern still happening in the 21st century. This man has been accused of these things, but he's still being protected. And to me, it's like, as victims, you don't come forward the moment it happens. You're still in shock. You're still in fear. But now, the justice system is not friendly to the victim. The justice system still protects the perpetrators. How do you ask someone, do you have proof? What proof do I have of being raped?
As I was saying, to them, it's history, because it happened long time ago. How can you say someone's emotion is history?
So I believe that even being catcalled or anything like that is actually a form of sexual violence, because there is an intention behind it. I think intention is a big, big part of this. Like, are you wanting that girl so badly that you want to do these things to her, and that you calling her, like, and whistling at her, or just even just comments? I mean, there is so much bad intention just in words itself. I mean, obviously actions speak louder than words, but words speak pretty loudly too.
Yeah, and just to comment on that, another problem in society is that seeing that this pattern has been just reoccurring, and it's so often that a girl is raped, the public has become desensitized.
Mm-hmm.
Am I using the word correctly?
Yeah.
So I feel that's another issue that we face. We shy away from these things because it's become so normal now, and we think that we can't report it because nothing will be done about it. Yeah.
I think it's creating spaces where women or men, whoever's been assaulted, sexually assaulted, to come forward and not judge them. Suspend your judgment. In that moment, all you have to say to the person, like you said, I believe you.
I believe
and
you.
I'm here. Even though you're judging them, but don't say to them, don't show it. Because you're telling, if you tell them, I don't believe it, they're going to run away and say, what's the point? Like Ashley said, mental comes in, depression, suicide, you know, and this is a very important thing we need to focus on, allowing them to actually express themselves.
I actually just want to say thank you to Flora, because that statement, I believe you, actually gave me goosebumps. I'm not gonna lie.
Yeah, it's sad, because now I'm thinking that the minute we shy away from what happened, like the minute you say no, let it go, that means the perpetrator won. And if the perpetrator wins, they move forward to their next victims. And we have victims multiplying.
And they
glorified. Victims. Exactly. Victim, victim. And this, it's one person committing all these crimes, going on, and the victims are getting help, trying to
deal with it. Yeah.
And this person is carrying on. Well, if we know that if we can try to deal with the perpetrators, that means they will no longer be victims. So that's where it actually begins. For there to be a victim, there was a perpetrator.
100%. You know, I think it's also important for the justice system to take this into consideration. Have you realized that in a lot of rape cases or sexual, you know, violence cases, is that the judge is always a man?
Mm.
And if I'm a victim, I'm a woman, it's just, they don't do it intentionally, but the man will ask questions to protect the perpetrator.
Yeah.
But having a woman as a judge, and I know as a woman I'm a victim, I know somewhere, somehow there'll be empathy and she'll support me, and there'll be justice served for me. Looking at
Cheryl Zondi,
South Africa, her case, you know, look at that documentary, like, you boil in the inside. You feel you could just slap your phone and just get into the conference.
All the television babes.
You know, it was a white male, his lawyer, and he asked disturbing questions like, do you have proof that he raped you? You know?
Unacceptable.
How long was his penis? And to
wow.
me, it's like, how do you ask questions like that?
Wow.
You're playing the situation in my head. You're belittling me that I'll end up I'm going to burn out.
Yeah.
And the moment a victim burns out, the perpetrator wins.
Exactly.
Case closed, perpetrator wins. What are we saying to other men? It is okay to do it. Don't worry, you will win the case. You won't get arrested. There won't be justice.
And this actually just speaks to the idea that there is actually this quote by a man called Nick from a story called Awakening the Sleeping Giant in All Men. And it goes, his savage history is littered with atrocities that have been bringing tremendous damage and unspeakable shame upon the masculine psyche. Right now he suffers with chronic repression and denial, but denying him is futile and can lead to perverted and unhealthy expressions of his magnificence. This completely explains the unruly biological urges that riddle the male body, and it is just completely ingrained in the male's mind. And while this may come across as a generalization, let me tell you that the author of the story was himself a male.
Wow.
There's a monster within each male.
Yeah, that is a poem that was written by a guy, and he actually went deep in about every male person has a monster within them, and others are not aware of this, and it's okay, but we need to also deal with the monster, you know. Let men accept that, hey, I do have a monster, you know. They shouldn't deny that they have a monster.
Because when these two come together, as the poem says, is it can create this absolute beauty if women and men could actually just learn to get along.
Yeah, and lastly, on my side, the way forward is to say that this is not an attack on all men. It is a way of trying to get males and females on the same level, treated equally. And yeah, that's one way forward for me.
Working together but not in isolation.
There we go.
Mm.
Perfect.
And making sure that justice is served. Because we cannot keep having this. We cannot keep having... The minute these things keep going on and going on, that means it keeps increasing instead of... it keeps going higher. The rape cases keep coming. It's never stopping. So because the victims become better, that means you have to deal with the perpetrators.
Get to the root cause.
Yeah.
Stop.
Thank you so much for having you guys on this talk show. I've learned so much from you guys and your views. And now I feel like, you know what, I'm going to start a social movement about this. You know? I've been so inspired by you guys. We can't change history, but we can make the future better.
Mm-hmm.
Before I close off, I'd like to leave you with a quote and a question. It says, ask a man what his greatest fear is about serving jail time, and he will almost say he fears being raped. What can we deduce from the fact that jail is to men what life is to so many women?
Wow.
The cold shivers are real.
I'm going to leave you with that. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
Thank you for having us.